Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing left. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. I am your host, man. I was getting some help. They held it down for me last week, but I am here. I am back. What's up, Pittsburgh? What's going on? Florida, Iowa, and to all my friends in Minnesota, how y'all doing? Everything is looking good on this end. We're excited, truly excited, about how good God is. God is so good. You know, we're going to be talking about what you stand for. I want to say big ups to our producer and director and organizer for Blog Talk Radio that keeps me on point, lets me know when I got 5 minutes, 5 seconds, or 5 hours to go before the show, and that is Erica Bradley. I have to get her last name right. I make some mistakes every now and then.
And that was wrong.
What is it, Brady? Yeah, she's a Brady Bunch. I still got it wrong. Hey, you know, I'm like that. That's how I am, okay? Now, this is a poem that Erica gave me. I would stand to Mr. Fist on the battlefield among an army of red and an army of blue. And I stand tall and true as I asked you, what are you fighting for? This 4-foot by 4-foot concrete block you're arguing over for and bartering for is merely a prison without bars that still manages to arrest you by confining your mind, and you allow this corner to define you. And now you're defining yourself by calling yourself a street corner entrepreneur. And I ask you, what are you fighting for? You see, now you're standing on a corner I used to call my own corners, I once considered a safe zone. And now I'm too afraid to let my mother walk to the store alone. Because these streets, they're covered with cowardly fake gangsters. And I'm argued at the nonsense that rage on your head is somehow keeping knowledge from seeping into your brain. Don't you see that you're dying for nothing rather than living for something? You're self-destructing and just effing your own self over and ask you what you're fighting for. So she tried to make me cuss. Now, Erica Bradley tried to get me to cuss. And I ask you, what are you fighting for? You're waging war over something that never was and never will be yours. Because owning the streets is just a fictitious concept that gets misused by hip-hop dudes. They're trying to pass themselves off as reincarnated gangsters, so contrary to popular belief, no matter how deep your gang is or how much money you're thinking you'll make from cracked rocks, the only concrete rocks you'll ever own are the ones that come with steel bars, or the ones we call tombstones. So I guess the only decision left for you to choose is whether the fabric in your casket should be red or blue. And I ask you, what are you dying for, my brother? What are you dying for? What are you standing for? What is life for you? What are you trying to do with your life? What is your mission? Give us a call. The number is, call-in number is 347-215-9262. I'm going to ask my staff to tweet, Facebook, email, and also get with the outreach team. Tell them they need to be calling in right now. I need y'all to get them on the phone. I need to get them on the phone. Let's get Lines on the phone. Let's get Marco. Let's get them all on the phone, and let's talk about what you stand for. I just want to say one thing about what I stand for. I stand for health. I stand for safety. I stand for positivity. I stand for what's right in our community. And I do that because I am a survivor of that deadly disease called diabetes. You know, diabetes is not a good thing, and diabetes can hurt you. And so I just want to say, if you eat a lot of sugar, if you eat a lot of junk food, if there's diabetes in the history of your family, and if you don't know, you better get checked. They got a test you can do. They take your blood, and they check you out, and they measure your sugar level for the last 3 months, and you can find out if you're on the edge or on the verge of being a diabetic. You know, I had a doctor tell me once that, sir, one day you might be a diabetic, but he never told me that I was a candidate. He just said one day. So I figured one day might not never happen. But that day did happen. At some point between that doctor saying one day you might be a diabetic to the day that I turned into one, I should have had an intervention. So get yourself checked. Know that diabetes, check into the American Diabetes Association. They have an African-American initiative, and they want to get you involved. You can go to diabetes.org/African-Americans and learn more about how to stop diabetes. Matter of fact, comedian, radio host Tom Joyner is a part of that, and also J. Anthony Brown. And also their moderator is going to be Courtney Hicks from MAJIC 103.3 Radio. So that's an opportunity for you to get involved and do something. What do you stand for? Man, I stand for a lot. I'm really excited about talking about what we stand for. Just came back from the Congressional Black Caucus and meeting with and talking to Representative Marcy Fudge and Representative Donna F. Edwards and Representative Cedric Richmond, and they are all on the Congressional Black Caucus Board of Directors, and they did a great job of putting on a great conference. If you've never been to the Congressional Black Caucus, I advise you to go. There are some things that you can learn, and not only there's some great people you can see. Had a chance to get on the radio with my brother Al Sharpton. I was his guest on his radio station, and that was a wonderful opportunity to get on there and just talk about what Mad Dads is doing and how we're being responsible in the community. Had a chance to shake the hands of Shaquille O'Neal and let him know that Mad Dads is important. He said he's going to email me, but it probably won't happen simply because I didn't get his email. Now, you know, that's how you got to do it. I gave him my card, but that doesn't mean anything. But just to be in the presence of Shaquille O'Neal, he's a tall brother. He was way up there. You know, he made me look short. He would have made Lila look real short, you know, because you know how big Shaquille O'Neal is. And you know how, if you know Lila, you know how little she is, even though she eats up everything. Had a chance to sit down with our representative, our Congressman Keith Ellison, and I was in the, he had a workshop called Our Best Chance to Fix a Failed State and Foreign Affairs and National Security. And also we talked about the Somalian community. And we found out that the Somalian community has a lot of issues that they need to be working on. And so one of the things that I really enjoyed about that was also figuring out how can we bail out our youth. And I found out something. You know, when you talk about what you stand for, one of the things I found out for sure is that our youth are suffering. And our youth are suffering for a lot of reasons. Number one is we have 51 million African-American-owned businesses in the United States. And we also have 51 million jobs that are lost. But the problem is those 51 million businesses cannot hire those 51 million people because they do not have the capacity. So in our community where we have a lot of Asians making money off of us, we love their Chinese food, we love their gyros, we love their egg rolls, we love their burritos, you know, Erica loves their chicken burritos, and we love all that, but they're not providing jobs for our community. And so I need to, what happened to my callers? Where's Alonzo and all them? So we need to figure out how to economically put the community in place so that we can provide jobs and we can do what we need to do. The only way we're really going to bail out our young people is to start young. Head Start. Why are they cutting the funds for Head Start? There's a reason why. You want to cut something that is not producing. So you want to cut something that is, you know, if you want to save a generation, you've got to start young. And so it would make sense that the powers that be that don't want to save our young generation would cut the very program that would make them successful. So why would you cut the Head Start? Because you don't want our kids getting a good start. So you would cut that. And most of those kids in the Head Start program are African-American kids. What do you do about guns? And how do you take a stand against guns? Okay, we got 300 and something guns off the streets of Minneapolis. 343 guns, I think. We're still rising, still getting guns off the street. But did we, since we got the guns off the street, did we, were we able to stop homicides? No. Everybody's talking about Chicago, but Chicago's not the only state that has a large number of people that are dying. Chicago's not the only state. You've got Detroit. You've got St. Louis. You've got Kansas City. You've got Florida. You've got many, many more states that are having a large number of not only males being incarcerated but being killed on our streets. And so as we talk about going to Syria and saving those babies that are in Syria that are dying, President Obama says it's a state of emergency, and we have not attempted to save them yet simply because there's a war that needs to happen here. What about all the kids that are senselessly killed? It makes no sense, and they're dying on our streets right now. What about those babies? What do we do? There's something that must be done. And let me share with you what you have to do. We have to start thinking about our own selfish needs and start thinking about what we're going to do about this community. And when you bring in elected officials, you have to ask them, where is the dollars going for job opportunities, for training, for the work that we need to do? Where are those opportunities? Where is that outreach in our community? And I'm going to tell you, be honest with us, right here at Mad Dads, we need more dollars to hire young people. We would like to bring in some more young people to actually train them, but we can't do that with the existing dollars that we have. We actually need more dollars to make that happen. And why is it that we pour so much money into other nonprofits, but the nonprofits that affect our community, we don't do that? So we can talk about what you stand for, but what do you stand for? You stand for something that hopefully will make a difference in our community. A lot of people stand for drugs. You know, there's a lot of people say they stand for drugs. I got a caller on the call right now. Let me go to this caller. The number is 5737.
Aaron, step down. Want you guys to move over?
Caller, you on the line?
How you doing, sir?
Welcome to Blog Talk.
All right. Yes, sir. You sit over there. My name is Alonzo with the Minneapolis Mad Dads. How you doing?
Hey, you know, we're doing great. Listen, I know you're on outreach. You're out there putting it down in the community. But our question today is, what do you stand for? Now, you know, we have talked about a lot of individuals stand for gangs, drugs, violence. But what do you stand for?
Sir, I stand for help. I stand for I'm helping this lady. Hold on. Ma'am, okay, you can put your thing here. And you can sit down right there.
Okay. He's there on the bus. He's helping someone.
All right. God bless you. All right. Today I stand for love, health, kindness, you know, helping people get involved and helping each other. You know, I know the only way that the community is going to get better is if we do it collectively as a unit together. You know, we got people standing for drinking and drugging, gang banging and robbing and stealing. You know, that's not helping the community. Whether they think they're getting over, all they're doing is not only are they pulling themselves down, but they're pulling their grandmothers, their aunties, their nieces, their nephews, their cousins. They're pulling them down with them. They think they're not. They think that, like me, I used to be the same way. I think that I was the only one, you know, hurting myself if I was selling drugs, if I was gangbanging. You know, if I'm doing wrong, I'm the only one doing wrong. Well, now being a mad dad and being out in the community and watching how that we as young men and men in the community are a target. They don't want us to do better in our life. They don't want us to have anything. They want to use our bodies as a way to make money other than us making money for ourselves. We're honestly worth more money to the government and the state than being locked up or being in some type of institution than we are in being on the street. And that's all men.
Well, you know, let me ask this question. What do you think it is that's keeping our young men? They actually, you got the Skit Squad, you got YMT, you got SUB, you got all these different young men, young black men that have nothing, don't own anything, but they say they own a certain neighborhood or a certain block. Why do you think they fight so hard for something they don't own?
They just want to belong to something, EJ. That's all. When I was young, man, I just wanted to belong and be called something. You know what I mean? I wanted to matter. And that's all. These young boys only want to matter. And the way they figure that they're mattering is by getting involved in the game. I meet these young men sometimes when it's just me and them. Like, I met a young man I see down there all the time, running around with his little cool. But when I catch them by themselves, they're the most respectful young men, you know? And I seen a young man the other day get off the bus all by himself, and he was so depressed because he was looking for somebody to beat him. You know what I mean? But once we get him away from the block and take him out, like we did, like a young man came with us, we had a little party we do for the young man. We do, you know, the mentor thing with Emerge. So we took him to the MOA and let him watch a movie and play the bowl at the Sky Deck, and which was a beautiful thing. Thank you for that too, VJ. But the young man got off the train. He had his hood, and he looked so depressed. And I was like, man, what's wrong with you? Why do you look so depressed? I was like, what's wrong? He was like, I don't know. I was like, this is how I feel to be out the hood, bro. To be doing something different. You see how uncomfortable it makes you feel to be around all these different people doing something different? You know, he finally came out of it and had a good time. And when I left, he was happy. You know, but it shows that these young men are only used to just walking around the same corner, the same block. And that was me. I used to do it every day. I used to get up out of my bed, get dressed, to go stand on somebody's porch or stand on somebody's corner all day. Doing nothing until they decided to pick me up and make more money off me in jail than they did on me making in the street.
So we know that it's a fact that if we don't start young with our babies teaching them how to transform their lives, how to be all they can be, we're going to have a problem. We know for a fact that just the other day there was a 12-year-old kid that had a gun that was shooting folks, and we know for a fact that if some adult gave him that gun. Right now we're in a position where we need our men to stand up like you're doing, Alonzo. We need men to stand up against the violence and the destruction in our community. What do you think it is that we need to do to get these brothers, they call them OGs, what do we need to get them to wake up and say, stop killing our babies, stop destroying our babies?
I mean, we just got to get in their face, okay? I ain't afraid of them. You know, I'm an OG. I ain't afraid of them. You know, I'm known from different areas, and like I do, I wasn't afraid to stand on those corners. I wasn't afraid to put in the work, do the things I did when I was at their age. Today, I'm not afraid to get in their face. You know, I wasn't afraid to die then for nothing, so why wouldn't I be afraid to die for something? You know what I mean? Now I feel like if anything happens to me now, at least I did something with my life. At least I worked and did something positive. You know, everybody's standing around talking about they want to be somebody and do something positive with themselves. They do. Everybody, even as a kid, I wanted to be a police officer, even though I was in the gang. You know, I wanted to do something. You know, but today, I understand
that.
Thank
you, ma'am. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, too, brother. As long as I stand up and do something about my life, to get involved, then that's the only way things are going to happen. So today, I get up, I get out, and I do something. But like I say, we need to get in their face. Let them know, like, man, they looking up to you, bro. You're a role model whether you want to be or not. But you need to change and do something different. And unless you do something different, like we're doing, then all you're going to do is pull your whole society down. The whole race that you love, and you talk about how much you love your black skin and how much you love yourself. You pulling yourself down and you pulling other people down, which, now, if you want to die, if you don't want to be nothing, then that's fine. But at least let these young men have an opportunity to be something in their life, not use them to come up off of. And that's what we did to young kids, and that's what they did to me when I was young. You know, it's a lot of those guys who got nice cars and nice clothes, and they use me as a mule to get their drugs from one place to another. Or as a man that did something dirty to somebody in the community to put fear in their heart for them, not for me, for them, so they could be the big guy.
So when we talk about our kids, our dreams, our vision, what we fight for, you know, the big picture is that Alonzo started to dream again. Alonzo had lost his dream. Alonzo was living a nightmare. Many of our kids out there are living a nightmare. There was a gentleman that talked to me the other day. He said, man, I didn't plan on living until I was 19. And then when I got 19, I said, dang, I didn't graduate out of school. I haven't did anything. I'm 19. I made it. I don't know what to do now. And so all those people have to start dreaming again. How do we get them to start dreaming again, Lonzo?
Man, the only thing I know, man, is to just be a role model. Live by example. Be an example. Get up every day and continue to do what I'm doing right now. You know, they see us. You know, like we talk to some of the young men, like I say, but when they're in a crowd, they wanna not look. You know what I mean? They don't wanna look like the I forgot the name of it. You know, like the square. They wanna be cool, so they can't talk to them. But when we catch them by themselves, they really talk. They really smart kids, man. They really wanna be something. But when they get in the crowd, they get around one another. They keep forgetting and say, man, hey, we need to be something. You know, and that's the thing I love about Emerge. We get those young men in the crowd, we try to get them to be something, give them some good information. A lot of these guys, like right now, we're downtown, a lot of these young kids standing around thinking it's cool to be standing around doing nothing, drawing attention to themselves. They don't know that they're drawing attention to themselves, and they're starting to become, they're starting to become something that's negative. Standing there yelling, screaming, cussing, disrespect. You know, these kids today ain't like we was when we was kids. We respected our elders. We knew better. Even the OGs, they don't respect the OGs as much as they used to. Some of these guys can't say nothing to these kids because these kids got guns. You know, some of these OGs, honestly, ain't giving them the guns. I don't know how they're getting them from, but hopefully we can get some of them guns back off the street. But it's like, man, these were kids. I mean, I know a few OGs that have been shot up. I mean, really OGs. These guys, one of these guys, he's up here now. His name is Willie Lord. You know, he got out of the penitentiary after doing 15, 16 years, man. He started the Vice Lords in Chicago. Those young men got out and told me he wasn't nothing. They don't know who Willie Lord is. They shot him 12 times. Tried to kill him, pull him in a wheelchair. And then they talking about their Vice Lords, and he started the Vice Lords. You know, so it's amazing how these young kids don't respect their adults, don't respect their elders.
But we're going to come right back to you. Don't you go nowhere, Alonzo. You stay on. I got another question for you. You stay with me. I am going to go right to this caller. Caller, you are calling from 6150, Walking the Blog Talk Radio, National Mad Dads. How you doing?
I'm doing good, DJ.
Good. You know, is this Dalvin?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I'm glad to hear you on the phone. It's really wonderful to have you on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking, and I'm glad to hear you because listen to this. Today, children of color are overrepresented relatively to the general population. At every stage of juvenile justice system, black youth are 17% of the United States population, but represent 38% of the youth that are in secured placement. That means that 58% of youth incarcerated in adult prisons, and we have a serious problem with that. Now, I'm going to bring you back on. I hope you can get rid of some of that noise in the background. As a young person, that knows well, Dalvin, you know well about brothers holding down corners they don't hold, holding down blocks they don't have no rights to, holding down neighborhoods that they don't own, stores, standing in front of stores they say they claim they own, they don't make a dime out of there. We are losing that battle. What do we need to do? Coming from a young person like as yourself, what as a community do we need to do to change that?
If you ask me, I feel like it really ain't nothing we could do but just start one person at a time and just try to get some of the older fellas to talk to the young man, because it's a lot of teenagers between, I say, 13 and 17 that's doing most of the violence in the neighborhoods, especially on the north side. So I feel that you probably in their 20s to reach these young men. Like y'all did me.
Well, that's absolutely true. And you know, why do you think the age keeps getting younger and younger? Why is that?
Oh, I really don't know about that. If you ask me, it's because like the young kids getting smarter, so they just all they growing up around is violence, drugs, and all that. At a young age, so they just want to get into it and feel how everybody else feeling until they find out it really ain't no good.
So what age did you start getting involved in drugs and gangs?
I was about 12.
So at 12 years old, did you have any positive male role models around trying to really motivate you?
No positive, non-positive.
Well, and you know, you being a part of, what has Mad Dads done to help you?
They helped me realize that I need help, especially Lonzo. Lonzo talks to me every day, so I feel Lonzo and Marco, they got a big influence on my life because they already been through the things that I'm starting to go through, and I'm just trying to slow down before it end up too late being for me.
That's a beautiful thing, son, and I'm really proud of you because you're doing something that others won't do. You know, you're doing something that's taking your life back and saying, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do to get what I need to get to take it to the next level. And I'm truly proud of you because you didn't have to do that. You could have stayed on a course of destruction, and you decided not to do that. You realize that you have a problem. And what do you say? You know, I'm always asking you this because I always want other people to hear your voice. What do you say to those out there, same age as you, doing the same thing you used to do? What do you say to them to help them turn their lives around?
It ain't gonna get you nowhere. Another thing, all the young kids is growing up watching us, so we gotta be role models. Like, it really, the streets ain't gonna lead you nowhere. Everybody should already know that. But the streets ain't gonna lead you nowhere. We need to be young men instead of young boys in the community. So these kids, how it's supposed to be done.
And, you know, Emma's up here laughing at you. What do you have to say to her?
Text my phone, man.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you so much for calling in, man. I love you. I'm so proud of you, man. You're going to be hearing from me real soon. Thank you for calling Block Talk. We're going to go right back to my man, Lonzo, you on the air? Blog Talk Radio, National Mad Dads.
Thank you, brother, man. That felt really good to hear Dalvin, man. You know, he's doing great things, man. You know, everybody got problems in life, and it's good he's not giving up, man. You know, that's usually what happens. Yeah, Marco,
yeah.
Thanks for giving out that shout-out, too, man. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're doing good. I love seeing him every day, man, doing the positive. Stand on that same road. You know, stand on that same road, man. You know, once you get off that road, you got to start all over again. I did it over and over again. But, you know, once you make it a decision to change your life and start on doing something good and bettering yourself, and then something happens, you get that bump in the road, you fall, you know, instead of just getting back up, people fall apart. And they go back to their old family, old ways, what's more comfortable for them, doing something illegal. Getting high. You know, all that? That ain't nothing, man. You know, I've tried. Believe me. And like I tell them, if you start over, it's going to hurt more now than it is later. So go ahead and take them lunch and keep it moving, man. You know? I can't wait to see him come back and start volunteering, man. He's doing something real good, something that a 20-year-old, something that actually I did at the age of 19. I started treatment to change my life and to better my life and to get away from the hood and the street and to get a better thought in my head. And I went right back to those old friends because I got bored with being just a square. You know, I like being a square today. You know, squares pay their bills. Squares are a positive role model in the community. I didn't know that. Squares are superstars. The day that I'm a mad dad and I'm doing something positive, I'm a superstar. I thought I was a superstar when I was out there gangbanging and hustling. Now I understand what a real superstar is. You know, a real superstar is who helps this community and gets involved in this community.
19. I want to thank you very much for calling Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank Mark and the rest of the team. Dalvin, I want to thank you very much. I love you guys. Mad Dads.
M-A-D-E-A-D-S. Man, it gets destruction because you know that we are best. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south to the east to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.